Most of you probably already know, but just to go ahead and say it out loud in our company, that there's not going to be a harvest party per se this year. Do a little something with the church body on the 28th. And we can get into the why fours and how twos, but for now, we just sense that the Lord's leading us to just take a break this year. And via circumstantial and just providential reasons, it's just that it is what it is. And then also, don't forget, beginning next week, next Wednesday, we'll be having those little table topics, and that should be really cool. I'm excited to get into that, where we're just going to take some different kind of fundamental, foundational topics of the Scripture. Hopefully everyone that, you know, is of concern or curiosity to you, and we're just going to talk about them, how the Bible, you know, portrays them, and the way they're woven throughout the Scriptures, and our perspective as Calvary Chapel on them, you know, the Word of God, the worship of God, our witness for God, you know, things like the Trinity, the person of the whole, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Gosh, I've got a whole board full of them. I can't remember all of them. Mark, what's yours? Trinity. Mark, what's yours? Worship. And Jody's got the one. By the way, these guys, I'm just going to, and Jerry, what's yours? Holy Spirit. is there any of the other guys here? Russ is upstairs. And yeah, Justin, yeah, what's yours? End times. So there's a number of them that we'll be talking about, and I think it's going to be pretty cool. However, I'm just going to go ahead and say, you know, some of these guys are working on their little outlines for table topics. I don't have them yet. And Jody, actually, Hendricks, is the first guy. We're just going to kind of sit there, and that's next week, and I still don't have it. So if you know, all you could do is if you could go up to him and say, Jody, I'm looking forward to what we're going to talk about next week, man. I'm excited. I hear you've got some really good stuff for Pastor Jeff, and then maybe I'll get it. That'd be super cool. Just kind of throw them under the bus like that, I guess. If not, I'll just sit here and talk about the Word, you know, for 40 minutes or so, and you guys can ask questions or whatever, and we'll just talk about it. But be that as it may, I'm pretty excited about it, and hopefully, you know, you can get some, you know, invite people, even from the church, that are Sunday morning. You know, there's a lot of people that have questions or they're curious about things, and quite frankly, they just don't ever get the time to sit down and just go through them. And that's kind of what this is. It's just, it's been in my heart more over the past year or so to take that discipleship course. So I've been meeting more with the leaders, going through books with the staff and just stuff like that. And I'm kind of wanting that to spill out more even into the body and kind of equip you guys as it pertains to the fundamental, foundational truths of the Bible, okay? And how they kind of play out in our lives. But for tonight, you know, we're just going to take the time to just kind of get into the Word here for a few minutes, and then we'll just kind of, I will take my spot back over there, and we'll worship for a minute. And you guys know the routine, man. We just want to wait on the Lord and pray. And if you have the boldness when you pray, just to come up here, or if you have a word for us or a word of encouragement or something like that, and just kind of pray or speak so that we can all hear, that would be awesome. So as for tonight, ultimately, I will read to you, if you can see, Ephesians chapter 6 is where we'll be for just a minute. It's not really, I won't comment a whole lot on it, but it is, I will read from it. But Father, once again, we just pray that you would help us to focus on you, Lord, that we might hear from you. Father, we want to be pleasing to you and changed by you. And so to that end, we're just praying that you'd move by the power of your Spirit, Lord. So we just give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about, you know, what to talk about tonight. And it's interesting because topicals are really hard. I don't understand how some preachers or pastors kind of do the week-to-week different, unless they have a book that they're going through that gives them different topics, or they're getting mail-in outlines that are already done for them or something. I know some guys do that. I've never done that. I don't even understand why one would do that. You know, I mean, I don't want to dog anybody either. That sounded wrong. To me, it just seems like, man, just pray, seek the Lord, and let's go, you know. But if the Lord, if they've prayed and sought the Lord, and that's the way the Lord's led them, then cool for them, you know, to each their own. That's why it's called a personal relationship. But, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, you're praying and you're just thinking, man, Lord, what is it that you have for us, you know, at this time as a body or whoever it is that gathers together, you know, collectively tonight, and with all the stuff that's going on and all of the, I don't know, how do you say, tragedies that are taking place in our country and everything, and all I can think of is, what in the world is wrong with the world? You know what I'm saying? I mean, ethnic tension on the uprise and increase, political polarization is pronounced now more than ever. What appears to be random acts of violence occurring on a major scale more and more, just escalating. Everything is escalating. People driving vehicles through crowds of people, foreign powers seeking to obtain nuclear knowledge with the intent to destroy the United States of America. I mean, you've got the largest mass shooting in the United States, in the history of the United States, happening just a few days ago with over 50 people murdered in cold blood and over 500 injured as a man just opens up with full automatic weapons and from the 32nd floor of a casino, just raining bullets into a crowd of just concert goers, you know? And on the one hand, we hear the news, we hear the longing of and the desire for. We've got a world that's wanting and longing for peace. And on the other hand, you've got a world filled with more violence than ever. And both of which prime our planet for the appearance of the Antichrist, right? A world filled with more violence than ever, and yet people wanting peace seemingly is the cry of their heart, but it's not the outcome of their actions. You know what I'm talking about? That's kind of a different direction that I want to go. I don't want to get necessarily on Antichrist type stuff tonight, but listen, Jesus said that when we see these kinds of things begin to happen, that we're not to be afraid. They're like birth pangs. The birth pangs of a pregnant lady, they're not the end in and of themselves, but they are an indication that the end is nearing. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous, what does the word perilous mean? It means very stressful, even intensely fearful, right? Difficult to bear up under. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty or arrogant, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen. When you're reading through the Word of God, pay attention to every word, okay? Even the order of the words are important. And there's different kind of ways. I mean, I guess, I don't know if homiletically is the word I'm looking for, hermeneutically, I don't know, as you study exegetically. I mean, all these weird, like, big college words that, you know, whatever. But different books, you kind of can approach different ways, you know, whether it's a narrative or an epistle or it's historical or poetry. You know, we get all of that. But with all of it, we want to pay attention to what's being said, the order that it's being said in. I mean, just as when Paul wrote to the Galatians, speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, he told us very clearly, didn't he? He told us very plainly that the fruit of the Spirit is what? He said the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? Now, that's it. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's no more difficult or complicated than that. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. Sometimes you hear people talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and we know what they're talking about, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is that agape love, that love that is indigenous to and found in God. You know, that love like we read of in Romans where, but God demonstrated his own love. We capitalize on the fact that it's indigenous to him. It's not something that's natural for us. But with the Holy Spirit in us, you see, the fruit of the Spirit is the agape, others-oriented, all-giving, non-self-seeking love of God. Now, if you want to break down what that's composed of, he goes on to tell you, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? These are like the ingredients that you whip together and you pop in the oven, and what comes out is the love of God, right? These things compose the love of God. They're all wrapped up. They're all found in the love of God. That's the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Well, even so, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, enlightens us as to why in the last days these perilous, stressful, fearful times will come. Why people will love money and be prideful and blasphemous and disrespectful and disobedient to their parents and unholy and slanderous and without self-control. Why will they be arrogant? Why will people be brutal and all the rest? And it's because rather than having the love of God as their primary priority, he tells us that men will be what? Lovers of themselves. Okay? All of these wicked tendencies that we talked about, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, you know, gossips, without self-control, brutal, all of these wicked tendencies flow from placing the priority on me. Okay? Loving myself rather than loving God. Gratifying my flesh rather than crucifying my flesh. And I think that even in the church, we find that rather than being zealous toward the things of the Spirit, we're lethargic toward the things of the Spirit. Rather than being on fire for God, we find ourselves kind of apathetic toward the things of God. And rather than crying out to God for the lost and wanting to see our place packed with people who need to know Jesus and want to and need them to come to Jesus, we're kind of complacent and, you know, content to be caught up in our kind of our own routines. I mean, we go to church, we go to work, we, you know, whatever the case may be, and we're just not really mindful of others. You know, sometimes I think about how willing we are to work hard and get ahead in life. And we'll work hard to be the best at what we do. You know what I'm talking about? It may be athletics. It may be academics. It may be a trade or a medical profession. And that's all fine and well. I mean, we should do our best, shouldn't we? I mean, to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Yet, in some way, even in that, we get a bit of a reward in this world, don't we, for doing those things. You know, what I mean is that maybe when we're doing our best to get ahead in our trade or our, you know, field of expertise or our, you know, medical profession or whatever the case may be, we get a little higher pay scale from that. Or maybe we get some recognition and reward from our peers. Maybe it's a little bit of a position of power as you get a kind of a, you know, into that next position. You get some influence in the sphere of where you work or whatever. However, it also seems to me that for all the effort that we place into getting ahead in this world, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we rarely exercise that same drive and determination in regard to the eternal things. You know, we're all about the things of this world. You know, we're worldly. We're of the earth. We're, you know, and we're mindful of the things of this world. But, you know, here's the thing. Ethnic tension, political polarization, random acts of violence and terror, ultimately aren't rooted in the flesh. They're not carnal. They're spiritual. You know, people are trying to figure out why this guy did what he did, and he used to work for the IRS, and he had a good job, and he made lots of money, and he, you know, used to send his mom cookies, and you know, and all of these kinds of things. He didn't have any radical religious persuasion or radical political persuasion. At least that's what they're saying now. More stuff may come out. We don't know. But the point is, you know, why are people so violent? Why can't we get along? Listen, you're never going to find the solution in a protest, you know, a peaceful or otherwise. I'm not sure, again, and I don't know, I'm kind of dancing around, I guess, on some sensitive topics, but I'm just not sure that taking a knee has really made a difference for the better in this country, you know, in any way. And I'm not speaking for it or against it. I realize people have liberty, land of the free, I guess, free to disagree. I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying one way or another. Just these are just my thoughts. My point is that in the end, at the end of the day, the problem isn't on a physical plane. It's on a spiritual plane. And so really, as believers, the call isn't to be strong politically or protest peacefully. Though I suppose those things can have their place, you know. But we're to be aiming, here's the point, family. We're to be aiming inwardly at the heart. Does that make sense? When people have a heart that's right with Jesus Christ, their first priority isn't self. It's God first and others second. Loving God and loving others, that's the biblical order of man's role in this world. Racial equality issues evaporate. Male, female hierarchy and jockeying for position, and why are we, you know, push down, and you know, and all these kinds of stuff, those contentions disappear. There's neither male nor female, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free. We're all one in Christ. Jesus Christ remedies all of that kind of stuff. We find ourselves equally at the foot of the cross. You know, people are looking to love one another rather than murder one another. What then is the solution? Well, it's for the church to be salt and light like Jesus has called us to be. Don't aim at the fringe issues. Guys, we can get so distracted by fringe issues. You know what I'm talking about? What the political persuasion needs to be, or what's the ethical or moral responsibility and these kinds of things. Listen, aim for the heart. You want to see hearts turning to Jesus Christ. That takes care of all of those other issues. In the book of Ephesians, and here we go, you know, chapter 6, probably, I think we're about verse 10, Paul said it like this. He said, "Finally, my brethren," is that verse 10? I just got it. I got my Bible here, but I'm reading from my notes, so I'm just being honest with you. So, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power," that is, when he's talking about what is power, power is an ability to overcome, okay? "Be strong in the Lord," not in yourself, it's not about your resolve, you see, but it's about the Lord and in the power, or that ability to overcome, that's of his might. And when we're talking about might, we're talking about his intrinsic strength, okay? And he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Oh, guys, here it is. Man, if it's not underlined, highlighted, somehow drawn attention to in your Bible, it should be. "For we," you and me, "do not wrestle against flesh and blood." Do you see that? What does that mean? It means if your fight is with your spouse, or with your boss, or with your neighbor, or of that person who's of a different political persuasion, you're looking in the wrong direction. You know, That's like trying to treat a heart attack by giving someone, you know, ibuprofen for the pain, or maybe putting them in a cool bath to stop the sweats, something like that. It's addressing symptoms rather than the root cause. Our problem isn't ultimately with people, but as Paul said, it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Oh, wow. So that kind of reacclimates us, doesn't it? It refocuses us. It reminds us of where the battle's taking place, where the root of all of these issues is. So what then are we to do? He says, well, therefore, or in the light of these things, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many of you, quick show of hands, would agree that we are in the evil day? Okay? All right. Thank you. Even up top, we're getting hands there. Yeah. And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Everything hangs on or hinges to the truth. This is talking about a belt, okay? You know, Paul, there he was chained to a Roman soldier. He was in prison, and no doubt he's just staring at this guy. He's writing this letter. He's looking at his armor, and he's noticing that everything, every integral aspect of what makes this man prepared for what's potentially to confront him is hinged to, in some way, related to the belt, okay? And so he's thinking, what is the central, primary thing that we need, that everything else is built upon? It's he says, it's truth. And he's not talking necessarily about knowing the gospel at this point. And just he's talking about a life of integrity. This is what Jesus was talking about when he said that we're to be salt and light. Does that make sense? In other words, a life of inward integrity and honesty, letting our yes be yes and our no be no, and all of these things. And he says the breastplate of righteousness or rightness, what that means is it kind of builds on that integrity inwardly, that outwardly we're to do the right thing. We're to be people that are doing rightness, okay? And having shod or put the shoes on your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench or to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Racial inequality, fiery dart, right? Political polarization, separation, isolation, tension, marital stress and strife, all of these things. It's not flesh and blood, ladies and gentlemen. These are fiery darts. And now we see the symptoms of them boil up in us, don't we? I would never try to take the blame. I mean, we're well able to destroy ourselves. You know, we know there's things against us, this world, our flesh, and the devil. But we're talking here about the root, right? The spiritual root, not the physical. And take, he says, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now we're getting into the Word of God. Okay, so we talked about the belt of truth, the integrity, the honesty, the salt, the light, letting your yes be yes, your no be no. Here he's talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Quick question. You know, a lot of people think it's the pastor's responsibility to pray for the people that go to his church. And it is. But how many of you realize it's your responsibility to pray for your church family as well? How much time do you spend praying for the people in this church? Oh God, I pray for the marriages at Calvary Chapel. I pray, Lord, for those single people who are struggling because they're single and the marriages that are running into trouble, Lord, because they're being mindful of self instead of one another or whatever the case may be. God, I just pray. You know, I encourage the people. I've talked to our leaders. I've talked to different servants to come in here, man, before church and just start walking around the sanctuary and praying, putting their hand on one of them chairs and saying, oh God, I just pray for the heart that's going to sit right here. Lord, you know every need, you know every hurt, you know every hopeless, you know, anxiety that's running through them. And oh God, I'm just praying that today you would meet them and you'd minister to them. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd put someone in this seat, God. You know, that's what I'm talking about, guys. We have a responsibility with all, you know, he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Man, you gotta not grow weary in doing well. It's easy to do something for a Sunday or two or, you know, or whatever, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves right back in the routine. Man, we gotta persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray for me, you know? We wanna be a people who loves God and loves others. Salt and light. Renewed in our zeal toward the things of the kingdom. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I see some people, man. Gosh, they are zealous toward the things that they're about and diligent. They work hard. And sometimes I tell them, look, if you would put just a tithe of that energy, just a 10% of that energy that you put into your endeavor here, into the things of the kingdom, change everything. If you just give 20% of that effort to your spiritual development that you're giving to your physical or academic or career development or whatever, wow. That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, if you're like me, we can fall into that routine of lethargy and apathy and we just kind of do what we do. God help us. We want, you know, hearts heavy for the lost. I mean, guys, I'm grateful for each of you. I really am. I hope you know that. I love you guys. But it hurts my heart when I see, I mean, and I know that our spirituality isn't based on just coming to church or anything like that, but I just think, man, what does this mean? Does this mean anything? You know what I'm saying? God, where are the hearts of the people? What's happening? And I pray for them. And I'm grateful for everyone that shows up whenever they show up. But somewhere in my mind, I'm thinking, man, there's so much more. There's so much more. And people are missing out on it. They're being ripped off. They're hanging out and just kind of, you know, not all of them. I'm sure some have legitimate reasons and things going on, working this and that. But, you know, so many just distracted by the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. It's been a hard day at work. I'm just going to stay home. Really? I'm sorry to hear that. You know what I'm talking about? That first fruit, first love relationship with God. You know, those of you who are married and you remember when you were kind of courting or first dating, man, it didn't matter how tired you were, if the opportunity came to hang out, man, you were there. You know, you could call you on the phone, you'd talk and talk and talk. You had to get up in a few hours, but you just kind of kept talking. Why? Because you loved each other. Man, when you love God, man, I just want to be around him. I just want to hear from him. I just want to grow to know him, you know. I see your works, you know, the Lord said. It's in that. To the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation, you know. And what did he say? I'm running in our prayer time, and I'm just going to throw this out here. I'm just going to get this right. Revelation, you guys know where I'm going. Chapter 2, he says, look, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say that they're apostles and are not and have found them liars. You've persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Man, if you were to walk into the Ephesian church on the day this was written, man, you would think it was the happening hottest. It was the most, it was one of those, trending churches. You walked in, they had the coolest bulletin. Their lights were going back and forth. And man, their guy got up and the MC was representing and their band was kicking and everything. And you're like, man, this place is on point. And from all outward appearances, they had all the outreach activities. They had a killer youth group and college group and their women's ministry and men's ministry. Everything was firing, man. It was like a well-oiled machine. But something was wrong. Not outwardly, but inwardly. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. So the three R's, right? How do we remedy this? What's the remedy? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or repeat the first works. So remember, and remember what that was like. And repent of the direction you're going now. And repeat those first works. So he gives him a commendation and then an exhortation, or else I will come for you or come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And then he goes on to say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So these are the things, you guys, renewed in our zeal toward the things of God and his kingdom. The heart's heavy for the lost. What does it mean to walk by faith and to take aim at the heart of man? I think that in to do that, we have to know the word of God, right? So that we might have a word in due season for the hurting and the hopeless in this world. And so tonight, in just the next few minutes, you guys, I mean, this we got to get down to business. I'm going to just begin to strum my guitar here, and then we just want to pray that our hearts would be renewed, that we'd take aim, that God would help us not to be distracted, but that we would take aim at the heart, not peripheral issues, you know, that God might cause us to be salt and light, effective in the war that he has called us to wage. Amen.